Telegram, April 15, 1865. From the office of the Provost Marshal to the War Department. A business card of a man named Johnny Surratt, a known CSS operative, was found in Booth's room. It is believed they are intimates. Detectives are on the hunt.
Mrs. Surratt, my name is Marshal McPhail. This is Major Thomas Eckert. How do you do, ma'am?
To what do I owe this pleasure, gentlemen?
We'd like to ask you a few questions about your son, Johnny.
He's not in trouble, is he?
Mrs. Surratt, does your son reside here at your boarding house?
Yes, though I've not seen him since Friday last.
Do you know why we're here today asking about your son, Mrs. Surratt?
Yes. John Wilkes Booth, I imagine. I assume that's what this is all about. Mr. Booth was a regular fixture at my tavern and my home. Johnny brought him by initially. They were quite close.
Did you find their friendship unusual in any way?
My son is a well-bred Southern gentleman. It only seems natural he'd be drawn to a man like Mr. Booth.
Mrs. Surratt, you're aware John Wilkes Booth made an attempt on the president's life.
One of my boarders told me the horrific news. I was absolutely stunned. No one could be more shocked than I that he would do such a thing. Mr. Booth was always so polite. Gentlemen, I don't mean to be rude, only I have a business to run and many guests which require my attention.
We'll be in touch if we have any further questions.
Good day, gentlemen.
And to you, ma'am.
What do you make of that?
Nothing. I believe her. You?
She's lying through her rebel teeth.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
1865 is supported by you. Hi, I'm Lindsey Graham, executive producer of 1865. I'd like to ask you a favor. If you're enjoying 1865, consider supporting it with a $5 monthly pledge. If you'll join us at 1865podcast.com, you'll get the entire original series, bingeable right now, as it appeared on Stitcher Premium last year, completely ad-free. You'll also get early access to episodes of the new rewritten and reworked series. That's the one you're listening to right now, also ad-free. And in addition to that, supporters get transcripts annotated by the writers with more fascinating historical detail, a free copy of the original score to 1865, and special bonus segments that dive deep into our characters' history and motivations in their own words as read by the cast. But I hope the best perk of becoming a supporter of the show is that you will be helping us create the next chapter in our audio storytelling. There are so many stories to tell, from 1765 to 2065, and your support is critical to our success. So please, go to 1865podcast.com and become a patron. Help us continue our work bringing history alive by going to 1865podcast.com.
Have you seen the editorial in today's paper? Perhaps Andrew Johnson has a vested interest in keeping the trial from public view for fear the truth is uncovered. He's a puppet for the government of the Confederacy.
The man who reads nothing at all is better educated than the man who reads nothing but newspapers. Thomas Jefferson said that.
That's not the only troubling article, Mr. President. The members of Stanton's military commission are printed on the front page.
The jury list?
A list you were supposed to approve, unless I'm mistaken.
You're not.
According to this article, the list was leaked by an anonymous source close to the White House.
Mars.
Every single juror on that commission, to a man, is a Lincolnite, a Stanton loyalist, and a Republican.
He's rigging the tribunal. Putting in the fix. I should have listened to you, Wells. I should have fired that old scratch when I had the chance.
I'm afraid that ship has sailed, Mr. President. The eyes of the nation are fixed upon this tribunal. If you fire the head of the War Department in the middle of his investigation into a Southern conspiracy you're accused of being part of...
Cut my nuts off in the press, and the damn radicals in Congress will move to impeach me.
He should never have had his position to begin with, Mr. President.
I had my reasons for keeping him on.
Such as?
My reasons are my own.
Mr. President, my counsel is meaningless if you don't confide in me the whole truth. Whatever you've done, it will not change my loyalty to you or your presidency.
This stays between me and you. Understand? It goes to the grave.
You have my discretion, sir.
The night Lincoln was killed, I had company in my hotel room.
Mrs. Johnson?
No. A brothel girl by the name of Ella Starr. Stanton's been holding her over my head ever since.
I see.
I got a re-election to think about, Wells. The people of this country are good Christian people. They will never abide an adulterer in the White House. If Stanton leaks this Ella Starr story to the press, I'll be riding out of Washington City on a rail.
I don't require an explanation. Mr. President, Stanton may be a rabid dog, as you've said many times before, but I want you to know he's not the only member of your cabinet who knows how to bite. The Navy has many friends in Washington City. If there's something to be found on Edwin Stanton, my friends will find it.
Like they say in Tennessee, it takes a dog to catch one.
Only if I do bite, sir, I'd like your assurances I'll not be put down.
Collars off, Wells.
Telegram, May 9th, 1865. To Major Dix from the War Department. Today begins the military tribunal for the conspirators of the assassination of President Lincoln. Orders convening the court were read in hearing of the prisoners. Mrs. Surratt, who seems to have been one of the chief instigators and participants, is very defiant and unrelenting. Edwin M. Stanton, Secretary of War.
May it please the court. The conspiracy here charged constitutes a crime the atrocity of which has never been seen. This is more than a murder. It's a treasonable conspiracy to aid the existing rebellion and subvert the United States Constitution. A conspiracy authored by Jefferson Davis and carried out by the Confederate Secret Service. If they had succeeded, it would have left the people of the United States without a president, without a vice president, and without a Secretary of State, who alone is clothed with authority by law to call an election to fill the vacancies of those offices. There are some who right now, even in the face of this iniquity, would prefer that this government take a position of leniency towards the rebels. Gentlemen of the tribunal, this is not only a trial of the individuals here accused. This is a trial of the rebellion itself. If Jefferson Davis is the chief architect of these crimes, then President Johnson must not grant amnesty. Not to Jefferson Davis, not to the Confederate officers who presided over the insurgency, and not to the wealthy plantation owners who funded this bloody rebellion. If Davis is responsible, the South as a whole is responsible. I leave the decision of this dread issue with you, the jurors. Whatever else may befall, I trust in God that this court will fulfill its duty to redress every wrong, to avenge every crime, to vindicate the majesty of law, and to maintain inviolate the Constitution of the United States.
Mrs. Surratt?
Marshal McPhail.
You have a visitor. This is Congressman John Bingham. How do you do, ma'am?
I have heard your eloquence in the courtroom. Though as I am not permitted to testify in my own trial, we have not yet had the occasion to speak.
I'd like a moment alone with her, Marshal.
Of course, sir.
Are you my Roman centurion, Mr. Bingham?
Ma'am?
When the Apostle Paul was arrested, the Romans bound his wrists and stripped off his clothes. Paul turned to a nearby centurion and asked, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" The centurion's heart was moved, and Paul was set free.
You know the Bible well.
And you, sir, know the law. I hope you are here to spare me a flogging, Mr. Congressman. I am a citizen, after all.
Mrs. Surratt, you and your son committed treason in a time of war.
We did no such thing.
The facts paint a different picture.
And what facts are those?
The morning of the assassination, Mr. Booth came to your boarding house in Washington, asked you to deliver a bag of supplies to your tavern in Surrattsville, just outside the city.
And I obliged him. Guests make requests of me all the time. This was no different.
After Mr. Booth murdered the president, your tavern was the first place he went. He asked your man there, Mr. Lloyd, to fetch a bag.
If you say so.
He asked him to fetch something else, too, didn't he?
As I said.
Guns, Mrs. Surratt. Two rifles.
I don't know anything about rifles.
Mr. Lloyd says you told him to fetch the shooting irons and have them ready for Mr. Booth's arrival. Mr. Lloyd says you knew about the rifles because your son placed them there, hid them above the bar weeks before the assassination.
He's lying.
The facts do not, Mrs. Surratt. Your son was a Confederate agent. He used your boarding house and your tavern to plan the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And he took his orders directly from Jefferson Davis and the Confederate Secret Service.
I do not know anything about the Confederate Secret Service.
Where is your son?
I've told the marshal already. I don't know. He left without a word.
We will find him, Mrs. Surratt. It's only a matter of time. And when we do, I assure you, he will hang for his crimes.
My son is innocent. I swear it.
An honest witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies.
I see you know your Bible, too.
If you want to save your son, Mrs. Surratt, you'd better start telling the truth.
Mr. Bingham, wait. My son did hide the rifles for Mr. Booth. But he wasn't part of a plot to assassinate Mr. Lincoln. He was part of a plot to kidnap him.
Mr. Bingham.
I'm sorry to drop in on you like this at home.
No, it's fine. What can I do for you?
We need to talk.
About what?
Jefferson Davis.
Come in.
Is it true what the papers say? Davis was wearing his wife's clothes when they found him?
Hiding in plain sight, yes. From what I understand, he's quite an attractive woman.
How the mighty have fallen. The great Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy, wearing a dress.
Well, I might have embellished the details a bit to the press. Technically, he was wearing his wife's shawl, but the dress had a better ring to it. It's important the people of this country see Davis for who he really is, a feckless coward.
Or the architect of a vast criminal conspiracy.
What do you want, Bingham?
I want Davis brought back to Washington for questioning.
Oh, Mr. Bingham.
I need to take his statement, Stanton. We can leverage his cooperation.
Davis won't cooperate. And he certainly won't implicate himself in a criminal conspiracy. He'll keep his mouth shut and wait for a pardon from President Johnson. A pardon he'll receive if Johnson has his way. I need to keep Davis as far away from this tribunal and Andrew Johnson as I possibly can.
Then we have a problem.
And what would that be?
For one thing, this kidnapping plot does not help our cause.
Of course it does. Mary Surratt confirms her son's involvement and therefore the involvement of the CSS.
In the kidnapping plot, not the assassination.
The two plots were perpetrated by the same conspirators, Mr. Bingham. They are not mutually exclusive schemes. Booth and his men tried to kidnap Lincoln not once, but twice. And both times they failed. When Richmond fell and Lee surrendered, the plan escalated.
That's your theory. And I'm not saying it's invalid, but where's the proof?
We have Mary Surratt and the rest of Booth's conspirators dead to rights.
Potentially.
You have to do better than potentially, Mr. Bingham. I need guilty verdicts across the board.
You need more than that. If I put Mary Surratt and the rest of Booth's conspirators away for life, that still doesn't prove the Southern conspiracy. We need to draw a direct line from John Wilkes Booth to the CSS. And if Davis won't talk, there's only one man who can do that.
Johnny Surratt.
That's Surratt's been missing since the assassination. If he hasn't surfaced by now...
Marshal McPhail's men are on the hunt. We'll find him.
He may be the one man in Washington City who hates losing more than you, Stanton. Find Surratt, or bring me more evidence.
Mr. Bingham, wait. There is someone who can help us.
Who's that?
Let's take a walk, shall we?
State your name, please.
Sanford Connell.
Your real name?
James Wallace.
Sir, your real name?
Charles Dunham. It's my Christian name.
It was John Wilkes Booth behind the attacks on April 14th.
Booth was an actor. Not a very good one. He was never the one pulling the strings.
Who was?
Jefferson Davis in the CSS.
And who carried out Davis's orders?
Johnny Surratt received his marching orders from Jefferson Davis. Mr. Booth got his from Johnny Surratt.
I just have a few questions I'd like to ask you. Where are you from, sir?
New York.
And have you ever been conscripted as a soldier for the Confederacy?
No.
You testified in a Canadian trial last year, isn't that right?
Yes.
According to my records in Canada, you testified you were from Virginia and that you did fight for the South.
What difference does that make?
We have a word for that in the legal profession, sir. Perjury.
Canadian law has no bearing in the United States.
Mr. Dunham.
Mr. Dunham is from my family. Mr. Conover is how I'm known to the Union.
And to the rebels?
Mr. Wallace.
Help me understand, Mr. Conover.
I'm a spy. What are you confused about?
Mr. Conover...
I did lie in Canada. I lie often. It's an essential function of my job. There were men in the courtroom that day. Rebel agents who knew me as James Wallace. If I'd have told the truth, they'd have put a bullet in my head. I'm no good to the War Department, Dad. Am I?
Mr. Stanton, a moment.
Am I free to go?
Soon. Thank you for your cooperation, Mr. Conover.
Putting him on the stand is a mistake.
He's telling the truth, Mr. Bingham.
I believe him. It won't matter. These discrepancies are discovered. We'll have
no
choice.
I have no doubt you can outmaneuver the defense. Put him on the stand.
It's not the defense I'm worried about. It's the press. If this story breaks...
It won't. Put him on the stand, Mr. Bingham.
He was wearing a goddamn dress?
That's what Stanton told me, sir. He also told me you personally ordered him to send Jefferson Davis to a military outpost in Georgia.
That lying weasel wouldn't scratch his own mama if she had fleas. Who's in command down there?
General Wilson, sir.
I want Davis brought back to the Capitol immediately.
Stanton might have inadvertently done you a favor, Mr. President. Davis's presence could stir up Southern sympathizers and Northern agitators, too. We don't want riots in the streets on your watch. Perhaps it's best Davis stay where he is.
What sort of a man puts on a dress?
My friends tell me Stanton fabricated that story to impugn Davis's character in the press.
Lying little snake.
Well, that's not all he lied about, sir.
What's this?
A visitor log from the Montauk prison ship.
Lucy Hale?
Secretary Stanton arranged for Miss Hale to visit Booth's body.
Why in God's name would he do that?
For the same reason he convinced you to appoint John Parker Hale ambassador to Spain. Lucy Hale was John Wilkes Booth's lover, Mr. President. And more than that, my friends tell me she was feeding him information.
If that's true, why has she not been arrested?
A fair question. I believe the answer is obstruction of justice. Stanton protected Lucy from investigation, and he covered up the story in the press to shield her father from scandal.
Well, I'll be damned.
Mr. President, you can't fire Stanton, not right now anyway, but perhaps, sir, the remedy is his resignation.
He'll never resign.
Are you aware Justice Catron is on his deathbed? The doctors say he won't make it through the night.
What in the hell does Catron have to do with anything?
The Supreme Court is Stanton's lifelong dream, Mr. President. If you help him achieve it, you won't have to fire him at all. He'll leave of his own accord. Gracefully and quietly.
Mars?
Mr. Johnson? Mr. Wells?
Stanton?
Sit down, both of you.
Bit unusual, isn't it, Wells? The President being summoned to the War Department?
Yes, generally a summons happens the other way around.
President Lincoln grew quite fond of the long walk from the White House. In time, I trust you will do the same. Now, to our business. What is the meaning of this?
It's an opinion from the Attorney General.
I know what it is, Wells. Why has it been drafted?
I'm moving forward with amnesty, Mars. The Attorney General has signed off. Now all I have to do is make it official with the stroke of my pen.
Mr. President, I am begging you. Do not do this.
If you'd like to beg for something, Stanton, why not your position?
My position?
I don't like seeing sources from the White House slander my character day in and day out, Mars. If I don't have loyalty in my own cabinet, then what do I have?
I am not responsible for the leaks.
You take us for fools, sir.
If I were to leak undisclosed information to the press, believe me, Mr. President, the content would be of a much different nature.
I'd like the room, please. Now.
Mr. President.
I thought we had an understanding.
You mean you thought I'd bend over because of Ella Starr?
Well, I was under the impression you'd already done that, Mr. President.
Watch yourself.
I prefer to appeal to your sense of loyalty, sir.
Loyalty's a two-way street.
Yes, it is, sir. What I receive, I will pay back tenfold.
And what did you receive from John Parker Hale? Must have been important. John Wilkes Booth tossing one into the daughter of a senator is one thing, but you protecting her from the investigation? Well, that is a horse of an entirely different color. Where is Booth's journal, Stanton? Locked away in your vault?
You're making a terrible mistake, Mr. President.
You know who passed away this morning? Justice Catron. Man served on the Supreme Court with distinction for 30 years. Good old boy, John Catron. Cut his teeth in Tennessee. Lifelong Democrat like me. Like you used to be. He's a staunch conservative, Catron.
I'm familiar with Mr. Catron's record.
See, there's a lot of pressure for me to maintain the status quo, pick another Jackson man. But then again, I'm the president. And I can do as I damn well please. We can go to war, you and me, Stanton. Or we can be friends. You can resign as Secretary of War, and in return, I'll give you a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court. But you gotta decide. You gotta give me your answer right here, right now.
Major Eckert!
Yes, Mr. Secretary.
Has Ella Starr been brought to the arsenal?
Yes, sir. She's been added to the witness list for the prosecution, per your instructions.
Thank you, Major. You're dismissed.
Yes, sir.
There's my answer. Miss Starr has been instructed to keep your name out of her mouth for the moment. What happens next is up to you.
Goddamn jackanape.
That will be all, Mr. President.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mr. Hale.
Secretary Wells. To what do I owe this pleasure?
May I come in?
If you must.
I wanted to wish you well on your journey to Spain. Congratulations, Ambassador.
Thank you. Though I suppose President Johnson is the one who deserves my gratitude.
Or Edwin Stanton.
Yes, he did have a hand in it.
More than a hand, I'd say. A long arm is closer to the mark.
Well, Edwin always does right by his friends.
He does, doesn't he? How is your daughter, by the way? From what I hear, she's quite distraught over Mr. Booth's death.
Lucy is distraught, but only to leave behind the only home she's ever known. Mr. Booth has nothing to do with it.
Come now, Mr. Hale. A young girl's heart is a tender thing. To lose her fiancé, especially under such horrific circumstances...
Mr. Booth was not her fiancé, Mr. Wells. As you know, those stories in the press have been exposed for what they truly are. Fiction.
I suppose Mr. Stanton deserves your gratitude for that as well.
Is there something I can do for you, sir?
Stanton destroyed those pages in Booth's journal, Mr. Hale. But he didn't cover your daughter's tracks. Not as well as he thinks he did, anyway.
I'd like you to leave now, sir.
Hubris has always been Stanton's Achilles heel, wouldn't you agree? What's your Achilles heel, Mr. Hale?
Father?
Go to your room, Lucy.
Is everything all right, Father?
I said go to your room. Do as I say.
Yes, Father.
I think we have our answer.
What do you want?
No, Ambassador. The question is, what do you want? You can keep your position, or I can finish what Stanton started and place your daughter under arrest. Fetch a pen and paper. You're going to make a speech before you depart for Spain. It'll be your grand finale.
Distinguished gentlemen of the Senate, thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. It has been my life's greatest pleasure to serve by your side these last few years. Before I embark on a new adventure across the Atlantic, I have but a few words of wisdom left to impart. In the wake of our country's darkest hour, as we seek to set right the wrongs of the past, let us not carry forward with us the sins of that darkness. Gentlemen, if trial by jury is overthrown in this country, take the rest. I would not lift my hand, nor open my mouth, nor counsel my constituents to shed a drop of blood, or pay a dollar of treasure, if the Constitution is to be preserved emasculated of this safeguard of liberty. To my esteemed colleague, Edwin Stanton, Secretary of the Department of War, I say this. Sir, if you are going to throw a dragnet over the land, if you are to bring in this whole people and subject them to the penalties that may be inflicted by military tribunals and these court-martials, then the last step in the humiliation and degradation of the country is taken. And we shall be left fit instruments for any despotism that the bold and the lawless may see proper to establish over us.
Mr. Stanton, I've just read Ambassador Hale's remarks in the paper.
No doubt the work of that Neptunian reprobate Gideon Wells. That copperhead is a grayback in a Billy Yanks uniform.
This is more than a shot across the bow from the Navy Secretary. It's a fiery rebuke from the lips of John Parker Hale.
It's sophomoric political maneuvering, Mr. Langston, nothing more. A limp attempt by Wells to turn the radical Republicans against me.
An attack on you is an attack on the Freedmen's Bureau. The Bureau cannot afford to alienate the radical Republicans.
They will see through this transparent stunt. More importantly, they will endure a thorny investigation so long as it aims to deliver the South the punishment it deserves.
With respect, Mr. Stanton, at the moment it seems President Johnson is the one doling out the punishment. General Howard has received instructions from the White House to begin the process of repossessing the lands we've given to the freedmen.
Johnson doesn't have the authority.
Well, he seems to think he does. The Attorney General agrees with him.
No. Speed's a friend. He's on our side, believe you me.
One might read his opinion on Johnson's amnesty order and think otherwise.
We need to use the Attorney General to strike back at Johnson. Speed's a Republican, but his real allegiance lies with the letter of the law. We'll need to make a compelling legal argument.
Do you have one?
Don't forget, I was the Attorney General under President Buchanan. Only person in Washington City who knows constitutional law better than Speed is me. Of course, I have one. Instruct General Howard to ignore Johnson's order and proceed with resettling the freedmen. I'll take care of Speed.
Are we about to go to war with the President of the United States?
Mr. Langston, the war has already begun.
June 22nd, 1865, the opinion of the Attorney General. The Freedmen's Bureau has authority and is required by law to set apart for the freedmen 40 acres of land per man. The President's authority as it relates to the power of pardon does not extend to the restoration of confiscated lands. Signed, James Speed, Attorney General.
Spineless Speed. Slithering about the justice office on his belly like the serpent in the Garden of Eden.
It's not the Attorney General that worries me, Mr. President. It's Edwin Stanton's tribunal. You must go on the attack.
I've played all my cards, Wells. I held Lucy Hale over his head. I dangled the Supreme Court in front of him. Hell, I shot John Parker Hale right up his cornhole like a cannonball, and he didn't even wince.
Mr. President, my friends hear all manner of things about Stanton's tribunal. What do you know about Stanton's star witness, Sanford Conover?
Just that he's a hell of a spy, if not a touch on the shadowy side.
More than a touch, sir. Stanton's entire conspiracy case hangs on Conover's testimony. My friends have reason to believe that testimony is vulnerable.
Vulnerable how?
I could tell you, Mr. President. Or I can spare you the details and you can read about it in the papers like everyone else.
As long as my hands are clean.
My friends are very discreet, sir.
Hit him, Wells. Hit that bastard right in his vile mouth.
June 26th, 1865. From the New York Daily Tribune. The testimony of Sanford Conover is the latest in a string of egregious offenses perpetrated by the prosecution. Mr. Conover has clearly perjured himself in the name of proving the prosecution's conspiracy case. He is, at best, deranged, and at worst, a liar of the compulsive variety. In either case, it follows he is not to be believed, nor should the jurors of the tribunal give any credence to witnesses put forth by Edwin M. Stanton or the prosecution.
You goddamn fool.
Well, that's no way to talk to an old friend, William.
Have you seen the papers?
Particularly when he's entertaining company.
Secretary Seward?
Mr. Bingham, will you give us the room, please?
Bingham could stay.
If you want a witness to this conversation, so be it. I told you to do this above board. Integrity, I believe, is the exact word I use.
Sanford Conover is a valuable asset.
Oh, I'm sure he is valuable. He'll say whatever you want him to say, even if it means committing perjury.
Conover didn't perjure himself in Canada. He lied to maintain his cover with the CSS. For God's sake, you're the Secretary of State. I shouldn't have to explain to you the nature of our clandestine operations.
Mr. Seward, I recognize this article seems damning on its face.
Damning is an understatement.
Be that as it may, I assure you, Mr. Conover's testimony is legitimate.
How can that be?
The statements he made in Canada were under duress. CSS agents were present in the audience of the courtroom that day.
If he would have told the truth and compromised his cover, those men would have taken him into a dark alley someplace and slit his throat. He's telling the truth, William. His testimony is real. The conspiracy is real. Johnson knows I'm a hair's breadth away from proving it, which is exactly why he leaked this fabrication to the press.
You're saying Johnson is behind this story?
Of course he is, that corncracker. He knows I'm right. He knows I'm going to prove the conspiracy. And he knows when that happens, he will not be able to pardon the South. And if he doesn't accomplish that, he will never see a second term.
Mr. Bingham, you stand by what Mr. Stanton is saying?
I'd wager my entire reputation on it.
Well, then I suppose I'm satisfied. For the moment.
Are you going to apologize for calling me a goddamn fool?
When you apologize for all the terrible things you called me in the past.
Oh, don't hold your breath.
Conover's testimony has been officially stricken from the record, which means you've just lost your only connection between John Wilkes Booth and Jefferson Davis.
Well, that's not entirely true.
On your feet, Mrs. Surratt.
Major Eckert, is that you?
Yes, ma'am.
Forgive me, I would stand, but these chains are very heavy, sir.
Major, why is her head covered?
You ordered burlap sacks placed on the heads of all the conspirators, sir.
I meant all the men. Remove it, Major, now.
Yes, sir.
The shackles, too.
Right away, sir.
Is that better?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
My name is Edwin Stanton. I'm the head of the War Department. I believe you know Congressman Bingham.
How do you do?
Mrs. Surratt, I've just spoken with your daughter, Anna.
How is she?
She's not permitted to leave your boarding house. Nor is your business permitted to operate till the tribunal is concluded. Anna tells me you're on the brink of insolvency.
I see.
We can help. We can get you home to your daughter. Wouldn't you like that, Mrs. Surratt?
More than anything.
We're prepared to offer you a deal. We'll release you from the Montauk and pardon you of all offenses. All you have to do is sign this statement.
What does it say?
That your son conspired with Mr. Booth to assassinate President Lincoln. And that he took his orders directly from Jefferson Davis and the CSS. Sign this and you can go home to your daughter.
I see you wear a wedding ring, Mr. Bingham. Do you have children?
Yes, ma'am. Three daughters.
Then you know. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I shall not bear false witness against my son.
Mrs. Surratt, I know you're trying to protect your son, but it might be time to start thinking about protecting yourself. All you have to do is sign this document. Do that, and I'll ensure you escape the noose. And I'll see your son escapes it as well.
I swear to you, sir, on the life of my son. I've done nothing wrong. We are innocent.
July 4th, 1865. To the Office of the War Department. The trial of the conspirators has concluded. Based on the lack of evidence, we are inclined to find Mary Surratt innocent of all charges.
Mr. Bingham, this is unacceptable!
Are you all right?
I need guilty verdicts across the board.
I told you, the evidence was thin.
I don't care about...
Maybe you should sit down.
I'm fine.
Are you sure?
I said I'm... Go back to the jurors and tell them I want a guilty verdict with a death sentence.
You would execute a woman?
If your mother was about to be put to death for a crime she didn't commit, a crime from which you could exonerate her, what would you do?
You want to draw him out.
If we give her death, Surratt will come forward, clear her name, and tell us everything we need to know about the CSS.
The tribunal will never agree to it, and I don't blame them.
And tell them this. If they agree to find Mrs. Surratt guilty with a sentence of death, I will ease their conscience and allow them to make a clemency recommendation to President Johnson. I only want Surratt to see her sentence in the papers. When he does, he'll come forward, and his son would. Make the deal, Bingham.
'65 is an Airship production, starring Jeremy Schwartz as Edwin Stanton, also featuring Ian Ferguson, Aaron Roberts, Sally Vale, J. Michael Tatum, R. Bruce Elliott, Robert McCullum, Brandon Potter, Reed Burney, Jessica Renee Russell, William Jackson Harper, and Sean Hennigan. To find out more about 1865, go to 1865podcast.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter at 1865podcast. And if you're a fan of the show, please consider supporting us. Become a patron at patreon.com/1865podcast. New episodes air weekly, and look for special inside the episode interviews with the writers and producers of the series to find out more about the real history behind 1865.